Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll preview all of the coming attractions at the Minnesota State Fair's Military Appreciation Day, and we'll learn about World War II's 70-year project. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Veteran employment has been a buzzword lately. Governor Dayton proclaimed this month Hire a Veteran Month. The Department of Employment and Economic Development held their Veteran Career Fair this month also. And here on this program, we're highlighting service members looking for employment each week. All of this attention is necessary, as unemployment among veterans here in Minnesota is higher than the state's overall unemployment average. In the National Guard, we're working very hard on the unemployment issue for our recently returned 1st Brigade Combat Team. And we're excited to have some fantastic business partners helping us out. This summer, the soldiers are making their way through their 30-day and 60-day Yellow Ribbon reintegration events. By the end of the summer, a dozen such events will have taken place throughout the state on multiple weekends. At each event, soldiers that are unemployed are making their way through the three-step employment process, which is outlined on PositivelyMinnesota.com/veterans. The soldiers are also spending one-on-one time with corporate volunteers going over their resume and practicing their interview techniques. We know our veterans make good employees. They are dependable leaders who face challenges head-on. But understanding how to convey their military skills on a civilian resume or in an interview is out of the box for some of them. Being able to rely on civilians to assist our soldiers in overcoming this obstacle has been phenomenal. Many supportive companies throughout the state have been involved, but I want to call out just a few who've stepped up time and time again for our soldiers. Thanks to the Carlson School of Management, the University of Minnesota, Super Value, Best Buy, Thomson Reuters, Target, United Health Group, and U.S. Bank. Together, we are fighting veteran unemployment.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. This summer, there's something extra special about the Great Minnesota Get-Together that we call the Minnesota State Fair. It's Military Appreciation Day, presented by U.S. Bank on August 28th. And here to talk to us about that today is Second Lieutenant Melanie Nelson from the Minnesota National Guard Public Affairs Office. And she's the project manager for the second annual Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. Lieutenant Nelson, welcome back to the studio.
Hi, Tom.
It's been quite a while since we've had you in here.
It has been, but it's good to be back.
It's great to have you. Can you tell us this is the second year of the Minnesota Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair?
It is, Tom. And Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair, it's really an opportunity to educate fair visitors about the military community here in Minnesota and all of the organizations that are out there supporting our military families throughout the state.
And you were involved in this last year, as I recall.
I was.
And the second year is going to be bigger and better?
Holy guacamole. It is going to be a lot bigger and better. I was so proud last year when the State Fair came to the Guard and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and offered to put on this day and give a discount to our veterans and our service members. And I was really excited when we had about 30 different groups participate in the day. Well, this year, our second annual, we have way more than doubled what's going on. We have more than 60 different organizations and groups that support the military who are going to be represented there. And we also have all the branches services are represented there with some of their equipment to showcase to our fair visitors. And even bigger than that, we have a lot more space at the fair. We have two whole sections that the fair has given us to be able to share our message with fairgoers. And so we're really excited about that.
Lieutenant Nelson, there's discounts for veterans and military that want to go to the fair?
Sure, there is. at the gate, and all this information is on the State Fair website, Military Appreciation Day on August 28th, every service member, retiree, veteran, family member with documentation is given a reduced rate at the gate. It's a $7 fee, and that's great. It's even lower than the discounted tickets that you can buy at Cub ahead of time. So they're really doing a great service for our military families.
And all of these people that are going to be there, these resources, what type of resources will be available for veterans? Can they learn some things at the fair?
Great question. We have it kind of broken up into areas. There's areas where it's all about family things, youth things, different resources for people to get involved in and to use. We have a whole section on employment. I'm really excited. Some companies will be there that are doing some aggressive hiring. We'll also, of course, have our Department of Employment and Economic Development, and their three-step hiring process will be there. And, of course, a section to really showcase our different branches of service. And one really unique thing, too, is we have a group of recruiters who are going to be unveiling what they are trying to pull off in the Guinness Book of World Records as the biggest thank you card ever for service members. And so the great unveiling will be right there as part of our day as well.
We're speaking with Second Lieutenant Melanie Nelson about the Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair on Minnesota Military Radio. Melanie, it's going to be a lot of activities all day. Do you want to walk us through what might happen there?
I do, Tom. And one of the most exciting things is, while our booths are open from 8 until 5, one of the most exciting things, I think, is the addition of a welcome home celebration like no other that will take place mid-morning. And we are inviting service members from all branches who have recently returned to come out in their uniform. And as the flag rises on the State Fair Day at 10:25. I know it seems late for a flag raising, but that's their time. As the flag rises and the Red Bull band begins playing on the Liney's Lodge stand, we will have hundreds of service members begin a march that will take them about 5 blocks from the Liney Lodge down to Carousel Park, and they'll greet, their families will be there, and they'll all kind of come around our military appreciation stage and listen to some welcome home messages from some really poignant people in our state, and then enjoy a concert put on by country artist Rocky Lynn, a tribute to the troops concert. And we are still welcoming people to participate in that. It's sure to be a phenomenal welcome home celebration. If you go to the website, I bet you can't guess which website I'm going to say, Tom.
It has to be our favorite.
But if you go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org, right on the homepage, it describes what is required of service members who participate in our welcome home ceremony. And there's a service member agreement. And if you fill it out and send it in to me, I'll get you 4 free tickets to come on out and be part of this celebration. So that's a really unique part of our day. And then, Tom, other things that are going on throughout the day. Of course, the Red Bull Band, the 34th Infantry Division Red Bull Band, will be playing on 2 different times that day. And we have another band that we're really excited about that will be playing, in addition to, of course, Rocky Lynn, which is really the icing on the cake. The Army Reserve Blue Devil Rock Band will be participating in the State Fair Parade that afternoon, and they'll also come onto our stage later in the afternoon. And then those 65 different booths that you are sure going to want to visit will be there all day from 8 until 5 with giveaways and a lot of information that you won't want to miss.
And at 1:30 that afternoon, there's an event, too.
Oh, my gosh, the most important event of all. Yes, we have a taping of the radio show right there. I can't wait to see you down there in the hot fair with your microphone and headphones on.
We were out there last year, and we're going to be there having a good time this year. At 1:30 that afternoon, we'll record live the next edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour from the Newstalk AM 1130 booth.
That's exciting.
Melanie, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to have a couple of gentlemen with us here today from U.S. Bank and Thomson Reuters, and we're going to talk to them about how they've been helping you with the Minnesota Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and I've been joined by Second Lieutenant Melanie Nelson with the Minnesota National Guard Public Affairs Office, and we've been talking about the Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. Melanie, we've got a couple of guests in the studio. Who's the first one?
Hi, Tom. I would like to introduce you to Todd Laudenslager. He serves as the Consumer Banking's Senior Risk Officer and Director of Operational Support at U.S. Bank. And he enlisted in the Army on his 17th birthday. He is a graduate of the U.S. Military Academy. And after 12 years of service, he left as a captain and he joined U.S. Bank in 1998. Welcome, Todd.
Thank you very much.
Todd, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Can you tell me what caused U.S. Bank to be interested in being a part and a presenting sponsor of Military Appreciation Day?
Well, Tom, it's kind of a natural just extension of our national military program that we've had for 4 years now. It's called Proud to Serve, and it really is a reflection of recognizing and supporting anybody that has served in the military that is now an employee of U.S. Bank. We've got 2,000 employees that have military experience, and we're actually looking for a lot more. We have a goal this year of adding 500 more vets to the employment in U.S. Bank by the end of 2012, and another 500 after that in 2013. As opposed to 2011, we hired about 240. So we're really going out for a stretch goal on this.
Todd, U.S. Bank's been busy in the last year. You were proclaimed a yellow ribbon company. And you've really ramped up your efforts to hire veterans, and now you're supporting the Military Appreciation Day at the fair. Great work, and can you tell us a little bit more about what's going on over there?
Well, we really value the Yellow Ribbon designation. It really gives a signal to our current employees and anybody who wants to come work for U.S. Bank that we value military service. We recognize the qualities that a military veteran brings to our business. We've actually done some studies, and vets have half the attrition that everybody else who's not a vet has. And so the work ethic, the being a part of a team, and especially that aspect of they know that something's more important than themselves all goes into having a great employee. And so we really value that. And the Yellow Ribbon designation is an outward signal that we value it, that we are going to treat you right, that we have a set of benefits that that really work with a military vet or somebody that's already still in the Guard or the Reserve, and they're going to be able to benefit from that. So,
Todd, it looks like U.S. Bank's really stepping up to be a great corporate partner with the Yellow Ribbon Program and the help at the fair, and I know you're going to be participating in the Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic next month. Is all of this because Lieutenant Nelson was twisting your arm, sir?
Well, you know, she invited me to a meeting, and when I realized what was going on, I went back to the bank and said, you know what, really, we really need to participate in this. We really need to show our leadership. You know, we're a big part of the Minnesota community. With our headquarters being here, and what a better place to be able to do it. And by the way, I dress up really nice when I play golf, so that you know that I kind of look like I can play golf, even though when I hit the ball, you know better.
Todd, how's all this been received by the U.S. Bank employees?
Everybody thinks it's a great idea. This Proud to Serve committee, which I've recently been named to, it's a group of 12 folks that volunteer their time to be able to help figure out ways to be able to recognize folks with military experience, and also recognize that we've got Veterans Day celebrations every year. Last year we had General Stanley McChrystal come on. The employees get really excited, and you know, folks being from the military, they always show up early for those events too.
We're listening to Minnesota Military Radio, and we've been talking to Lieutenant Nelson and our guests about the Military Appreciation Day at the upcoming Minnesota State Fair. Melanie, you have another guest.
I have another guest with me here, Tom. In addition to U.S. Bank presenting, Thomson Reuters is also presenting a special, our concert by Rocky Lynn is what they're presenting. And I have with us today Pat McDonald. He's the project manager and chair of the Veterans Employee Resource Group at Thomson Reuters. And in addition, Pat is also a captain in the United States Air Force Reserves, and he serves with the 934th Airlift Wing here in the cities.
Captain, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks, Tom.
Please say hello to Colonel Young for me.
Will do.
How did you get involved with this? Is this another case of Melanie arm twisting?
Oh, it is. You know, she gets on the phone with you, and the next thing you know, you're committing to all sorts of stuff. But really, for Thomson Reuters, this was a big win. When we found out Rocky was coming in and giving a great performance and finding out what Rocky's background is for military support and family support, we were like, excellent. This is just key for us. It's really a value that Thomson Reuters believes in, as well as supporting military members, veterans and their families. So it was a win-win to put our brand along with Rocky Lynn. We thought this would just be great.
And Captain Thompson Reuters is going to have a booth set up at the fair. What are you going to try to accomplish with the booth?
Right, with our booth, really what we're after is there's a lot of folks returning from military deployments that are looking for work. And we really want to talk to them about what Thompson Reuters is, what we bring to the community, and the great opportunities that we have for employment out there. So not only to talk about our brand and what we do, but also to see if we can find some vets out there that are, be a great asset to our company.
Captain, it sounds like U.S. Bank's employees are taking to this program really well. How about Thompson Reuter employees?
Right. I echo exactly what Todd was saying, too. Our employees have just embraced this big time. One of the recent things that we had is on the 4th of July, we had a lot of our employee network folks get together, and we said, how could we recognize, since we're now a yellow ribbon company, what can we do? We had employees place about 2,000 flags around our campus to kind of recognize the 4th of July and to kind of celebrate our veterans. And the feedback we got was fantastic. We have an intranet site on there, and I think it's the most responses we've had from employees about any event we've had on campus. So it's just been phenomenal, the support that we're getting.
That's great work, Captain. We'll have to talk about the MMFF Golf Classic before you leave today.
I'd love to. Come on.
We got U.S. Bank, and we don't have you yet. Melanie, back to you one more time. You and I have been talking about Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and beyondtheyellowribbon.org website for almost 2 years.
Oh, at least. It seems like forever, Tom.
And here we've got two great Minnesota companies that are helping support the troops and their families. This is great
stuff.
It's
phenomenal. I can't thank them enough for what they do for our organization and for the military employees that work for them and the families that they support. It's really amazing to see, Tom.
Gentlemen, we got about a minute left. Todd, have you got any last thoughts for our listeners about Military Appreciation Day or U.S. Bank?
Only that we're glad to participate. We're also going to have a hiring booth actually at the State Fair. We figure that's a nice place for traffic. And we'll take people through interviews right there, even if they're dressed in shorts. We want to be able to get that experience and make it start working for U.S. Bank.
Captain, any last thoughts for Thompson Reuters?
Again, hopefully get a great turnout for the event. I know both Thompson Reuters and our military members I have at the 934th. We're looking forward to the event, and Thompson Reuters is hopefully going to be able to hire some great vets from it.
Lieutenant Nelson, the date and the website?
The date, August 28th, Minnesota Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair, presented by U.S. Bank. Go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org, and right there on the homepage, you'll find all the information you need to participate in the Welcome Home celebration like no other that morning, Tom.
Hope we have a great day out there.
I do.
I'm looking forward to broadcasting live at 1:30.
Yep.
Thanks for coming in today. That was Todd Loudenslager from U.S. Bank, Pat McDonald from Thompson Reuters, and Lieutenant Melanie Nelson from the Minnesota National Guard. Now it's time for Hire Minnesota's Heroes. With an unemployment rate twice the average, Minnesota's veterans are facing an unemployment crisis. The good news is that you can help. Each week, we'll feature one veteran story and ask you to help hire Minnesota's heroes. This week's veteran is Captain Kelly Mangan. Captain Mangan, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good afternoon.
Can you tell us about your career and your qualities, ma'am?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. I am currently looking for a management position in operations or a hospitality industry with potential to move up within that organization. I have over 12 years of management experience within the military in the restaurant industry. In those 12 years, it included two deployments with the National Guard, and it included operational management, human resources management, and training management. So once again, I'm looking for a management degree, a management position with mobility upwards. Once again, I'm Captain Mangan within the Army National Guard. Thank you.
Captain Mangan, thanks for joining us today, and I hope you find many offers real soon.
Thank you.
Captain Mangan and hundreds of others are ready to work hard on their next mission. Can we hire Minnesota's heroes? To connect with Kelly, contact the Bloomington Workforce Center at 952-346-4000. That's 952-346-4000. Or to learn more, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. Coming up next on Minnesota Military Radio, we'll learn about World War II's 70-year project. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk about the 70 Years Project. But before we get to that, It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelledo.
Last week, Minnesota businesses, state leaders, and veterans came together to address one important topic, veterans employment. The Minnesota Veterans Career Fair, held July 11th, symbolized the partnership between the public and private sector. More than 100 private companies, nonprofit organizations, educational institutions, service providers, and government agencies participated. Support like this is important because it provides support and resources for both veterans and employers. I want to especially thank all the employers who participated in this event. Together, we will bring our veterans all the way home. For more information about veterans and employment, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelledo. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. The 70 Years Project is a day-to-day recount of World War II as experienced by Minnesotans here at home through vintage daily newspaper headlines. And here to talk about that is the director of the 70 Years Project, Randall Dietrich. Randall, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Randall, I understand you've been involved at the Minnesota Historical Society and working on the Greatest Generation for quite some time.
It has been a long process, and along the way, really had the privilege of interviewing and talking with, I believe, hundreds of World War II veterans and their families and their offspring about those World War II stories. And so the Minnesota Historical Society back in 2004 had launched this rather comprehensive initiative to capture a lot of these stories and produce a major exhibition, which is still available to the public at the Minnesota History Center in St. Paul. You can see the Greatest Generation exhibition there. So we opened that exhibit that's still there. We hosted a number of public programs around the state, did short films, books, and the like to really try to raise and elevate the awareness of World War II history across the state of Minnesota.
Now, you were working on the Greatest Generation Project from 2004 to 2009 at the Minnesota Historical Society. Can our listeners go over there and see the results of that?
They can. The exhibition is there, and it's an expansive exhibition. You can actually do a number of things in that exhibit. One is actually sit in a troop transport and have the experience of what a paratrooper might have felt the morning leaving for D-Day. And so you actually are moved and shaken as you ride a simulation that mimics what that experience might have been like. And during this flight, you actually hear World War II paratrooper accounts of what that felt like. And then you see and feel what that might have been like for those guys. So it immerses you as best as the History Center is able to do, and it's fairly powerful in what that experience was and does leave you shaken. And it's a great experience for people. They really kind of step into the boots of these guys who were so brave 70 more years ago.
And you find out that was a very flimsy aircraft, wasn't it?
And you feel that even to this day.
Randall, I understand that you've been involved with a frequent collaborator with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Fort Snelling Military Museum, and the roundtable.
Yeah, the World War II roundtable, Harold C. Deutsch roundtable out at Fort Snelling, convening, I think now for its 27th year, if I'm understanding correctly, remember correctly, from September through May of every year on a monthly basis, they gather at the Fort Snelling and hear about different aspects of World War II. I went for the first time 7-8 years ago and thought I might find 20 or 30 interested people there. And, consistently over all these years, they pack the house with 300 plus people, and it's a great program and a fantastic way for people to engage this part of history and hear from those veterans on a monthly basis.
Randall, now, how did the 70 Years Project come up and how did you get it funded?
Well, we opened the exhibit, the Greatest Generation exhibit, in 2009, and that really wrapped up, the Historical Society's commitment beyond the exhibit, which is still there, for that project. But as I had spent so many years talking to veterans and their families, thought there was still more that we could do. So I kind of took it upon myself and secured some grant funding to pursue this new way of looking at World War II called the 70 Years Project, which is primarily a web-based opportunity for people to, again, as you mentioned, look at World War II on a day-by-day basis. I think a lot of times we now 70 years removed can think of a campaign or a battle or a wartime story. And that's really important to remember. But this website and the project gives people a chance to really kind of experience it one day at a time when the outcome of the war was far from certain for people, and to read the headlines and the stories as history unfolds in front of you, in this case on our website, 70years.org.
We're speaking with the director of the 70 Years Project, Randall Dietrich, on Minnesota Military Radio. Randall, for our listeners, I'm going to ask you this a few times today, but if they want to find out information about the 70 Years Project or see some of this, where do they go?
Right. They go online. They go to a website, which is 70 Years, the number 7070, then years.org. So 70years.org is our website. And on that site, they can see a number of video clips that we've assembled over the years, but various parts of World War II history, some short films that have been done, some other news articles that we've worked with local media to produce. So there's a video component to it. And then every single day, we kicked off this initiative on December 7th, 2011. And so that would have been the 70th anniversary of the start of World War II, the attack on Pearl Harbor. We heard from Richard Thill at a program, in this case, that we hosted at the History Center in collaboration with the Department of Veterans Affairs. We heard his story, Richard Thill's, who was aboard the USS Ward.
We actually had him on the show about a year and a half ago. Very interesting story.
An amazing story, and a guy who is full of energy to this day, which is amazing in many, many ways. And so we heard from him. And then on that evening, we kicked off and launched the website. So every single day since December 7th, 2011, we've been posting daily newspaper headlines from what a local newspaper would have been reporting on that specific day, in this case, 70 years ago. So if you follow our logic, trying to kind of take it one day at a time, you know, at this point, we're about 230 days into World War II. So people that follow us online, go to the website, can sign up for an e-newsletter and get regular updates from us. They're certainly encouraged to come back and check in on a daily basis on their own. There's some parts that they can participate in. But as they are going online and reading these newspaper headlines, the realization is that no one's going to know the outcome of the war until 2015, August or so. And so you have to really appreciate that this is a slow process, much like, you know, winning World War II was, and there are good days and there are bad days, and the newspaper headlines reflect that.
So this project is going to run from, it started December 7th, 2011. It's going to run through August 2015. And on December 7th, 2011, we saw newspapers from December 7th, 1941.
We did. Yeah. People learn. I mean, as you know, your audience recognizes, you know, back in that day, radio was how people heard the news, and the newspaper headlines that came out the next morning or even that day. There were several publications for some papers that came out throughout the day. And so people can go to the website and see those headlines. And it's a great kind of perspective, because I think headlines in newspapers, especially headlines, the front page of the paper is what you see. And then there's a blog attached to each individual entry. But it's so evocative to see the letting, the size of the type. We're familiar with some of those, you know, even in our own history that we all share about what those big days were and what the headlines were. In this case, this website allows you to see the headlines that otherwise you wouldn't have easy access to, because really at this point, those headlines are stored on microfiche at the Minnesota History Center, and we've gone and accessed them and put them online.
So this is really a massive undertaking. You're putting up new headlines every day for almost 4 years.
Yeah, we're posting new content on World War II every day for more than 1,200 consecutive days.
And of course, I'm sure you're hoping that the viewers come back every day to see what was happening and follow the war day by day and battle by battle.
We certainly do. And, you know, with that also is the opportunity, you know, as we, I think, provide a point of conversation by posting these headlines, realizing that, you know, your audience is going to have stories, personal stories, to specific days. And so one thing that we make available to people that go to the website is to submit their own stories and their own key dates. And we'll actually post those on the website, too. You know, when a person went off to serve in the war, or when they came back, or letters they got back and forth. So we want to engage Minnesotans and our audience, because this is a very distinct Minnesota story, by including these individual stories along the way. And we encourage people to submit those dates and why those dates are important, because we're going to pair those then with the headlines that people were reading.
Randall, we have to take a short break. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about this massive project called the 70 Years Project, 70years.org. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back with the director of the 70 Years Project, Randall Dietrich. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining me today has been the director of the 70 Years Project, Randall Dietrich. Randall, once again, can you just give us a quick synopsis? What is this and where did it come from? This is a big project.
It is a big project. What it is, it's a day-by-day recount of World War II as told by the newspaper headlines from papers across the state of Minnesota. And we post a new headline every single day. We started it back on December 7th, 2011. On our website, you are kind of immersed in the history of the day. So at this point, if you go to the website, we're 230 days into World War II with many, many ups and downs to come. But already, you know, in the history of the first 230 or so days of the war, a lot has happened. And if you go to the website, you can certainly see today's headline for Sunday and read what that was. But you can also kind of go back in time on the website and sift through and search some of those other headlines. So you can see the attack on Pearl Harbor and how that was reported. You can see the Doolittle Raid and how that was reported in newspapers here and the excitement that went behind that. And the news was embargoed for a good number of days, as you well know, and how that news eventually unfolded and came out for people. You're also going to have, you know, the story of the Battle of Midway was another big milestone that we reflected on and printed the headlines for about a month ago at this point. So even 230 days in, a lot has happened, and certainly there's a lot to come, but we're right now, you know, looking at July 22nd, 1942, and you can see today's headline 70 years ago on our website right now.
So this started December 7th, 2011, when you posted December 7th, 1941, and it's going to go through August 2015. And every day, if our listeners go there and they go to 70years.org, that's 70years.org, they can see what happened on this day in 1942, this year. Mm-hmm. And we're coming up, as we talked about on the first two segments of the show today, the Minnesota Great Get-Together, the Minnesota State Fair is coming up. I wonder what was happening in 1942 during the Minnesota State Fair.
Well, so do I. And really, the best way to kind of get at that is to stay tuned for another 6 weeks, and we'll find out together, because that's still, you know, ahead of us at this point in 1942, where the newspaper headlines were talking it was a hot day on Sunday. It was about 92 degrees. You can read the newspaper headline online. This time, 70 years ago, they were talking about things happening overseas. They were talking about the potential of opening a second front of Americans being, you know, in Europe at some point, the need for that. The Russians and the Germans were fighting it out, of course. And you also have local news about like things like the Aquitennial that was going on at the time and is happening now. Back in 1942, it was the third anniversary of the Aquitennial. The theme for that year was On to Victory. So it was all centered around that war effort, because so many people across the state, including those who were, you know, serving overseas already, but even folks here in the home front, were dedicated to winning this war. You have organizations like Northern Pump, which was producing gun barrels for anti-aircraft guns. They had 7,000 people working at the time. They were working 24 hours a day. A couple of weeks ago, and you can read a headline about how they won a Navy E Award, an Excellence Award. They were one of 14 organizations nationwide to win one of these service awards from the Navy. And so you have a lot of different groups working around the clock to win World War II overseas and certainly here at home.
We're speaking with Randall Dietrich, the director of the 70 Years Project, and you can find information about what happened during World War II every day at 70years, 70years.org. Randall, as you were speaking, I was thinking about the war in the Pacific and the war in Europe and the war. It's hard to go to the website probably every day, but in the war in the Pacific, we were island hopping, island to island to island. And of course, in World War in Europe, there was Normandy Beach and Battle of the Bulge and all those things. Mm-hmm. Can you subscribe to get emails about certain special events that happened during World War II?
Yeah, if you go to the website, you can actually, you know, you had hinted at the State Fair. What you can do when you go to the website is to see a countdown to the major campaigns that either have happened, like Pearl Harbor, we're 230 days into the war, or how many days it will be until D-Day. You can see that on our website. It's laid out the days to these certain major milestones. And on those days, we'll send out e-newsletters to everybody, giving them a sampling of different headlines from across the state when major news broke. So it's a way for people to really not have to go to the website in this case, but actually receive an e-newsletter from us that talks about those major campaigns and has those headlines featured for people.
Randall, our World War II veterans are getting older every day, and we're losing a lot of them every day. Are you getting some of them that were involved in some of these campaigns that are starting to give you some comments on the website?
Yeah, we had, even when we kicked off the project back in December, we had three guests that evening, and we hope to do another event late this year. Again, that information will be on our website to bring these folks together. Certainly, the website is a great way to communicate with lots of people easily from the comfort of their home. But to come together once a year, to gather and share these stories and perspectives is something we're really committed to. So as we are developing collaborations and partnerships with schools and other organizations, we want to bring folks back together, whether it's through a World War II roundtable setting or somewhere else, to really reflect on even every year of the war. So get together this December, which would be 1942, and reflect back on that first year of war. What did we experience as a state? I think a necessary thing for us to do, to hear from these veterans and hear their stories, as well as look back at the website and the headlines.
I'm thinking what an easy way for younger generations that maybe didn't grow up with the war and know too much about World War II to pick it up day by day over the course of the next few years. Just by going to your website and reading the headlines. You brought in a copy of a headline from today's paper, and it says in huge letters, U.S. steps up war plans. And we talk about a Navy shakeup and the shipping loss being the highest since the start of the war. I mean, it's fascinating to take a look at those headlines and then compare them to today's conflicts like Afghanistan and Iraq and the things we see in the newspaper. What a great way to learn about the war.
It is. I mean, it's a convergence, really, of you'd mentioned, these veterans who are still with us that have stories to share. We still can hear from them, and we get reports from them and want to make that voice available. But at the same time, you have this technology now with websites and the internet and everything else to tell the story right now. So this is really why we launched the project now, is because we still have veterans that want to tell stories, and we have the technology currently available. Everybody can access this website really anytime they wanted to. You know, that the headline above the one that you had read was, "The nation must be steeled to huge new losses and sacrifice." So you can see so much in these headlines and what it conveys to the public. And I think, as you said, even today's newspaper, you can compare and contrast those two things. So it's a great opportunity for everyone to compare now and then, to hear stories of 70 years ago and to also look forward.
It was a world war like none of us have ever experienced that are in this room. Mm-hmm. And everyone was involved and everyone was rationing, and it was the topic of the day. And by reading these newspaper headlines, they're gonna absorb that, aren't they?
They will. I mean, they talk about rationing from day one. They're talking about rationing rubber. There's news about how you should vacation at home and conserve gasoline for the war effort. That's a big theme. They talk about air raids and preparing for those is another big thing. They have blackouts at night to practice essentially for what would be an air attack. So you have everybody coalescing around this idea of winning the war and working together to do just that.
Randall, we're about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners and the website once again?
Well, the website is 70years.org. I encourage people to visit that website frequently over the next number of years and really see how the war unfolded for people on a day-by-day basis, to have an appreciation that it wasn't just one campaign or one battle that won the war. It was the day-in, day-in effort of so many people here in the state and Minnesotans that were serving overseas.
Randall, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Randall Dietrich, the director of the 70 Years Project. You can find that at 70years.org. That's 70years.org. Before we go, we'd like to remind you that the Veterans Play Project is still seeking veterans to collaborate on their upcoming performance. They have several meetings coming up soon throughout the state. For more details, please visit MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Second Lieutenant Melanie Nelson, Todd Loudenslager, Patrick McDonald, Randall Dietrich, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we check in on the reintegration of our 1st Brigade Red Bulls and meet Minnesota's new state American Legion commander. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.